Saturday morning and time to drop in at the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, Saturday is yarn-spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the fans gather every week at this time as guests of the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Grantland Rice has been in the press box for all of the big sporting events of the past 30 years. He knows the fans and he knows the sports. But he's also collected many a sporting yarn, and he shares them with his friends in these Saturday morning sessions of the Hot Stove League. So now let's drop in at the Sportsman's Club and meet Grantland Rice.
Well, Grant, you promised to report on baseball's new commissioner today.
Sure, but what can he report, eh, Grant?
Well, fellas, all I can report is that the situation is getting more complex every day. Not a day passes that we don't have a new candidate.
Well, who's in the running now, Grant?
Well, just about everybody but Dizzy Dean.
No kidding.
We started out with Jim Farley, Ed Bauer, and Ford Freight. Jed Gahuba made a speech, and then he stepped out in front.
How do you like that?
And somebody pointed out that the selection of Hoover would make it appear that baseball needed a little FBI sleuthing. Then John Bricker, the Republican candidate for vice president, popped into the news. Bob Hennigan, chairman of the Democratic National Committee, entered the list. Wrigley of the Cubs was reported to be favoring Tom Courtney. Well, it seems that practically everybody is in line for that $50,000 job.
Well, what's the latest, Grant?
The latest is that if you want to be a commissioner of baseball, you've got to go west, young man, just as Horace Greeley advised.
You mean on account of the nominating committee?
That's right. The nominating committee consists of Don Bonds of the Browns, Sam Braden of the Cardinals, Alva Bradley of the Cleveland Indians, and Phil Wrigley of the Cubs. It's an all-western committee, as you see, and it's likely that the new commissioner's headquarters will remain in the west this year.
Well, I wonder who they'll pick, Grant.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it's anybody's guess right now. Don Bonds has been reported to be favoring either Jed Gahuva, the G-man, or Bob Hennigan. Sam Braden is supposed to be for somebody outside of baseball, although he's also supposed to be a supporter of Ford Frick.
Yeah, Ford Frick's pretty good.
And Wrigley of the Cubs is said to be for another judge. Bradley's lined up on the side of former Governor John Brooker. But they may fool us and pick some commissioner who hasn't even been mentioned so far.
Baseball needs somebody at the top as soon as they can get him, I say.
Yeah, and there are a lot of good men for the job, too. But I figure it's going to be a tougher job than ever before. You know, on account of all the wartime problems baseball's facing.
Speaking of baseball, Grant, how about a yarn?
Yeah, that's right.
I've got one for you, written by a young fellow we've heard from before. A writer who developed a fresh technique for telling sports stories. He did most of them by just setting down the letters and telegrams that were exchanged by his principal characters. So, gather around, fellas, and we'll hear about it.
Good idea.
Fine, let me
have a cigarette with you.
Richard McCauley wrote this story for the Saturday Evening Post. It concerns two ball players and an umpire who are stamp collectors on the side. It also concerns the umpire's beautiful daughter. But mostly it is about Danny Mannion, the first baseman, who hated everything about umpires except their beautiful daughters. McCauley called his yarn, "Get Out of the Game."
Well, this pitch tells the story, folks. Two out, bases filled, and the count is 3-2 on Danny Mannion. Last game of the season. Joe Pearson's out there on the mound, taking his time nice and easy. Here's the windup, and the pitch. Yes, it's right down in the middle, and Mannion just stands there and lets it go by. Oh, Mannion takes a third strike, and Joe Pearson gets out of a very tough hole. Oh, wait a minute, folks, wait a minute. Mannion didn't like that decision a bit. He's protesting vigorously to umpire Maloney. Vigorously is the word. Mannion is certainly burned up.
Why, you robber, you blind Tom, that ball was 2 feet on the outside.
That'll be enough of that, Mannion.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. If you can't see better than that, you better start selling pencils.
I'm warning you, Mannion.
You're warning me. Well, I'm warning you. I ain't taking this. I'll go to the league with it.
Well, what's the matter, Mannion? Didn't you see that last win?
Listen, Pearson, admit it. That ball was wide, wasn't it?
I just throw him, pal. A man here calls him.
Oh, yeah? Well, how much you paying this guy to call him your way?
Cut it out, Mannion. No more cracks like that.
Yeah, well, just look under your pillow tonight, Maloney. You ought to find something pretty nice.
Mannion, get out of the game.
Oh, yeah?
Get out of the game.
Well, radio friends, in contrast to all the snow and ice we've been having, down in the sunny south, another season spring training session gets underway. The Lions are training at Paradise, Florida, and the Green Sox are just about 12 miles away at Condon. Incidentally, what the Lions do this year depends a lot on how Danny Manion, the first baseman, hits, and the pennant chances of the Sox depends a good deal on Joe Pearson's pitching. One thing about Pearson, he certainly seems to have the Indian sign on Manion. Manion hit 137 against Pearson's offerings last season.
Oh, boy. Take these bags to 876. Yes, now, please.
You've got any mail for me?
Oh, I'm
Excuse
sorry.
Me.
Well, as a matter of fact, I believe you both have some letters. Here, wait a minute. Let me see. Yes. Yes. Miss Maloney, yours.
Thank you.
Mr. Manion,
here you are. Oh, yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Oh, you dropped your magazine. Here you are.
Thank you.
Front, boy.
You live here at the hotel?
Yes, I'm staying here for a while. I came down from Chicago for a vacation.
Oh. My name's Danny Manion.
Yes, I know.
Oh, you heard of me, huh?
Of course. You're the ball player.
Yeah. Your name's,
Lucille Maloney.
Pleased to meet you.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Manion.
You, follow baseball, do you?
Oh, yes.
Would you like a pass to our game this afternoon? We're opening a series with the Sox.
Well, thank you, Mr. Manion. That would be very nice.
Okay, I'll leave a pair at the press gate. Lucille Maloney, huh?
Hello there, Manion. How's the boy?
Oh, it's you. Hello, Pearson.
How's the boy, Manion? Glad to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Mr.
Manion. Oh, no. Please, don't go.
Well, really, there are some things I... like to...
Manion, please.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Miss Maloney, this is Joe Pearson.
How do you do, Mr. Pearson? I've seen you pitch in Chicago.
Oh, you have? Well... Very glad to know you, Miss Maloney.
I really must go. Thank you for the tickets, Mr. Manion. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Maloney. Hey, Manion, that's a very cute little girl.
Yeah, but we're practically engaged, so lay off.
Oh, sure. Say, Manion, how's the stamp collection?
Okay.
I picked up an interesting little item the other day. Unused 1861 U.S. 10-cent dark green.
Unused 1861. You did, huh?
Yeah, huh?
Well, I've been kind of interested in that number. You figure on keeping it?
Well, I don't know.
Tell you what, Pearson, you being a friend of mine, I might take it off your hands.
No, Manion, I don't think I'll sell.
I might give you $200 for it. Not that I want it much.
Well, I'd like to do it for you, Manion, and because we're pals, see, but I don't know. An 1861 dark green. I don't know.
Mr. Peter Selden, National Philatelic Association, New York. Dear Pete, this'll kill you. You know Joe Pearson, the Sox pitcher? Well, he's a stamp collector, too. I got to talking to him, and he mentioned that he had an unused 1861 U.S. 10-cent dark green. Not thinking he'd take me up, I offered him $200 for it. Well, a dumb John seems to think he was getting away with something. But as I remember, the catalog value of the stamp is $300. So if you got a buyer at that price, I'm ready to take my $100 profit. Then I'm going to tell Pearson about it. Boy, will he be burned up. Well, this looks like a swell training season. There's a cute little girl named Lucille Maloney down here from Chicago, and she goes for me. I'm just leaving for a date with her now. Let me know when you have a buyer for my 1861 dark green. Yours, Danny Manion.
Mr. Danny Manion, Hotel Walton, Paradise, Florida. Dear Danny, you should carry your catalog with you. That stamp you paid Pearson $200 for is listed at $150. I hope you have better luck with a girl. Sincerely, Pete Selden.
Well, a cheap, low-down chiseler.
What's the matter, Danny?
Oh, this guy Pearson sells me a stamp for $200, and it turns out to be worth $150.
And he told you it was worth $200?
Well, no, he didn't exactly tell me, but he knew what it was worth, and he just took my dough. I'll get even with that guy if it takes all my life. He burns me up, well, I'll tear him apart.
Danny, don't get so excited. You're always getting upset.
Well, who wouldn't get excited? He plays me for a sucker. Fix him.
Danny, you should learn to control yourself. You're always upset about things. When you're playing baseball, it's the same. You keep complaining about the decisions, yelling all the time. It's not good for you, Danny.
Yeah, well, some things just burn me up. Well, let's forget it. Where will we eat tonight, Lucille?
Oh, Danny, I'm afraid I can't have dinner with you tonight.
Why not?
I have an engagement. Joe Pearson is driving over from Condon.
Joe Pearson? Why, that snake in the grass, that low-down cheap chisel, I'm going to get that guy,
Danny,
and get him
caught. Please, Danny!
Miss Lucille Maloney, Hotel Walton Paradise, Florida. Dear daughter, I have received your letter and I want to tell you I don't like the idea of my daughter getting mixed up with Danny Mannion. In fact, I do not like the idea of Danny Mannion. Mannion is the biggest hooligan in the American League. He hollers when he's called out on strikes. He hollers when he's called out on the bases. He hollers when he hits a foul ball down the line that isn't called fair. At other times, he just hollers. He saves his best hollering for the games I umpire. He incites the bleachers to riot and gives the impression that my simplest decision against him or his team is the crowning injustice of the ages. So please lay off this Danny Mannion, as it is very bad policy for an umpire or an umpire's family to have anything to do with ball players, particularly ball players like Danny Mannion, who talks a better game than he plays. I always told him he was a sucker for the hard, high one anyway. Just get a pitcher in the box with a real fast ball and Mannion caves in. A pitcher like Joe Pearson, for instance. Now, there's a nice, quiet fella who isn't always yelling at umpires. Love, Dad.
Mr. Terrence Maloney, 5926 West Washington Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois. Dear Dad, thanks for your words of warning about Danny Mannion, and I want to assure you that I mean no embarrassment to you. Danny doesn't know we are even related. He's not really a bad fellow, Dad. He's just high-spirited. But under proper guidance, he would quiet down a lot. Strange as it seems, I have also met Joe Pearson. I don't think he and Danny get along very well. Joe is a more quiet type. But I think Danny could be a very nice fellow if he had someone to quiet him down. Well, Dad, I'll see you in about a week. Your loving daughter, Lucille.
Well, Lucille, I guess this is goodbye for a while.
Yes, Joe.
But I'll get to see you when I come to Chicago, won't I?
If you want to.
Sure I want to. I'd like to see you a lot. Salt and pepper?
Thank you, Joe. And I hope you have an awfully good season.
I think I will. My arm never felt better. Oh, and look, just between you and me, I've been working on my screwball. It's breaking swell. I ought to win 20 games.
The screwball? But, Joe, don't you think you ought to concentrate on your fastball?
Well, no. What makes you say that?
Well, a lot of hitters seem to hit curveballs all over the lot. But they have trouble with fastball pitchers like you. Danny Mannion, for instance.
Uh-huh.
I understand he's a sucker for the high, hard one.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Hey, you know, Lucille, I think you may be right at that. Maybe I ought to stick to that high, hard one.
I don't think you'd be making a mistake, Joe.
No. Hey, maybe you got something there, Lucille. Yeah, maybe you got something there. Catch it?
See you in Chicago. Huh, Lucille?
That'd be nice, Danny.
Yeah. You know, Lucille, meeting you has done things for me. I feel great. Gonna have a great year. I'll hit 350, maybe better.
Danny.
Yeah, baby?
Don't you think you ought to be a little more dignified on the field? Not shout or holler so much. Not fight with the umpires so much. I mean, well, couldn't you be a little more dignified?
Me? Dignified? Oh, baby, this baseball business isn't dignified. You can't look very dignified skidding into second base with your spikes high, can you? And you talk about hollering. Why, our manager likes us ball players to holler and ride the umpires, gives the crowd a show.
Do you think that's quite fair to the umpires?
Well, they don't mind. They never change a decision because you holler. It's psychological, you might say. If you yelp a lot on one decision, they're more likely to give you the break on the next one. Just human nature, I guess.
Well, I'm sure they try to be fair.
Oh, sure. Most of them are really swell guys. Most of them are half human, except one guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this Terrence Maloney in our league. Why, that astigmatic bum could be sued by any member of the race if he claimed to be even one quarter human. Why, every time I ask the big lump when he's going to have the cataracts taken off his eyes, why, he chases me to the clubhouse.
I bet the guy was born yelling, get out of the game.
That's very, very interesting.
Sure, why just give him a monkey suit and a chest protector and he thinks he's president of the league. Why, he's so lousy they don't even throw fresh lemons at him anymore. They bring old ones from home.
Indeed.
Why, sure. You know what I'm going to do next Christmas?
I haven't the faintest idea.
I'm going to send this robber some eyewash and an eyedropper, and I'm going to put on the card, Dear Mr. Maloney. Hey. Maloney. It never hit me before. Terrence Maloney, Lucille Maloney. Hey, baby, that's a funny one. Hey, you having the same name as this lunkhead?
It may interest you to know, Mr. Smart Aleck Mannion, that Terrence Maloney is my father. Goodbye.
Lucille, wait a minute. Let me explain, baby.
I never want to see you again. You sucker for a fastball.
Miss Lucille Maloney, 5296 West Washington Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois. Dear Lucille, I don't think it was very nice of you to walk out on me the way you did. How was I to know that old foghorn Terrence Maloney was your father? To tell you the truth, I was very interested in the fact that old Brass Lungs has a daughter at all, because I never thought anybody'd marry an umpire. What does an umpire do when one of his kids sasses him back? Does he yell, get out of the game? And what do you mean I'm a sucker for a fastball? Well, listen, I can hit Gomez and Grove. And I don't call that limping thing that Joe Pearson throws up at me a fastball. Regards to the old man, and tell him I'm planning to send him a C&I dog that ought to help him in his work. Love and kisses, Danny.
Mr. Danny Mannion, Hotel York of Philadelphia. Dear Mr. Mannion, I don't claim to know much about baseball, Mr. Mannion, but the last I heard, they were paying off on base hits, not on alibis. You're batting 097 against Joe Pearson, and you can't blame all that on the umpires. Yours truly, Lucille Maloney.
And now for some late sports news. The Lions got 12 hits off of Joe Pearson of the Green Sox today, but this sizable cluster of base knocks didn't produce a single run, principally because Danny Mannion failed five times with men on bases every time to shove the ball past the infield. In the meanwhile, the Sox bunched three hits in the third to shove across two runs, and in the seventh scored one run on a surprise homer by Joe Pearson. Final score, 3-0.
Mr. Danny Mannion, Hotel Yorker, Philadelphia. Dear Mr. Slugger, I see where you showed the fans what you could do yesterday. I suppose it was my father's fault you couldn't get the ball out of the infield. Now that you've got another look at Joe Pearson's fastball, have you changed your mind about it? Why don't you try using a lacrosse bat? Sincerely, Lucille Maloney.
Miss Lucille Maloney, 5296 West Washington Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois. Dear Miss Cantor Benny Hope Maloney, why don't you drop it, baby? Your old man supplies all the comedy necessary in your family, only he's lots funnier because it's unconscious. However, I still like my babies brainless. Still yours, Danny. Mr. Peter Sheldon, National Philatelic Association, New York. Dear Pete, I'm interested in a certain stamp which you may help me to get. It's the U.S. 1893 Colombian 4-cent issue with the error in color. I don't want to pay any $800 for this unused stamp, but see what you can do. I had hard luck with my little Chicago girlfriend. I pop off about Terrence Maloney, who it appears turns out to be her old man. She's taken a very belligerent view of the whole thing, and at present seems to be very much interested in one Mr. Joe Pearson of the Sox, who is still by way of being my personal dose of potassium cyanide. He keeps rubbing it in about the deal he put over on me about the 1861 dark green stamp. Well, with Terrence Maloney behind the plate, it's a million times worse. Baseball players have their worries, too. Yours, Danny Mannion.
Mr. Danny Mannion, Hotel Payne, Detroit. Dear Danny, I'll be on the lookout for that 1893 Colombian 4-center you want, but I doubt if you can get it for what you want to pay. Oh, by the way, your umpire friend, Mr. Terrence Maloney, joined the association last week. He's on the lookout for an unused 1850 Saxony 3 Pfennig Red, and like you, doesn't want to pay the price of $400. What's the matter with you baseball guys? I'm enclosing two counterfeits of the 1850 Saxony 3 Pfennig Reds for your inspection and information. Yours, Pete Sheldon.
Mr. Peter Sheldon, National Philatelic Association, New York. Dear Pete, received letter and counterfeit stamp. Stopped. Stand by for fast developments. Stop. Yours, Denny Mannion.
Mr. Joe Pearson, Green Sox Stadium, Boston. Dear Mr. Pearson, you don't know the undersigned, but a lot of us fellas have admired your pitching for a long time, and we've been wanting to show our appreciation. We thought of getting you a suitcase, but, well, money's a little tight at present writing, so having read of you being a stamp collector, although this seems a sissy thing for a big guy like you, we thought you might be interested in some stuff my grandfather left us kids. Among his stuff was a couple of Saxony stamps marked 1850. And since you go in for that kind of stuff, I'm enclosing same. Rooting for you always, Jack Schmidt.
Mr. Peter Sheldon, National Philatelic Association, New York. Have two unused 1850 Saxony 3 Pfennig Reds and would like to sell one. Stop. Can you get offer? Stop. Joe Pearson.
Mr. Joe Pearson, Hotel Hanley, Cleveland. If you want to make quick sale of 1850 Saxony 3 Pfennig, suggest you contact Terrence Maloney, the umpire. Stop. Peter Sheldon.
Hello, baby.
I beg pardon?
It's me, the old boyfriend, Danny Mannion.
Yes, Mr. Mannion. And whom did you wish to speak to?
Oh, come on now, baby. You know I don't want to talk with your old man. How are you, baby? How's about going out someplace for some music and chow mein, huh?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Mannion.
Oh, don't be like that, baby.
I'm sure it would be most embarrassing for you to be seen in public with the daughter of an umpire who needs a seeing-eye dog, Mr. Mannion.
Oh, baby, that was just a gag. Forget it, kid. Come on, what time will I call for you, huh?
I'm very sorry. Goodbye, Mr. Mannion.
Hey, baby, what... Well, how do you like that, huh?
Hello?
Miss Mannion?
Yes?
This is Joe Pearson, Lucille. How are you?
Oh, hello, Joe. It's nice to hear from you.
I was wondering, Lucille, if I could come out this evening.
Why, yes, I suppose so.
Swell. I got some things to talk about to you and your father.
Father?
Sure. First, I want to thank you for tipping me off on that fastball for Mannion. It stopped him cold.
Yes, I know. He's only hitting 122 against you.
Yeah, that's all. Hey, how did you know that?
Oh, well, I just happened to figure it up just to pass the time. What did you want to see Father about?
Oh, well, it's this way, Lucille. He collects stamps, doesn't he?
Yes, he's crazy about stamps.
Well, I ran across something I think will interest him. When can I come up?
8:30, Joe?
Swell, I'll be there.
Goodbye, Joe.
Goodbye, Lucille. Well, there it is, Mr. Maloney. An 1850 Saxony 3 Pfennig Red. Beauty, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very nice, Pearson.
I heard you were interested through the association, Mr. Maloney, and knowing Lucille, I thought I'd give you first chance at it.
Very nice of you, Pearson. Very nice. What did you take for the stamp?
Well, the catalog price, $400, sir.
Very fair price.
But, Dad, $400 for one little stamp?
Now, Lucille, you don't understand these matters. $400 is a very fair price. Pearson, I'm glad to get this stamp.
Well, I'm glad to have it for you, Mr. Maloney.
Well, I just don't understand you stamp collectors.
That's just what I want. I've wanted an 1850 Saxony for a long time. Pardon me, Pearson, the phone. Hello?
Mr. Maloney, this is Danny Mannion.
What?
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Maloney, wait a minute. I got to see you about something very important, very important.
I don't think I care to talk to you,
Mr. It's not about baseball, it's about stamps, Mr. Maloney, and it's very important.
Stamps? Suppose you drop around in the morning.
Swell, Mr. Maloney. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, folks, here we are out at the Green Sox Stadium to broadcast the third game of the current series between the Sox and the Lions. As you know, the series is all even, and this will be the deciding one. The batteries today will be Hancock and Kowalski for the Lions, and Joe Pearson will be flinging in that fastball of his for the Sox with Whitey Kane behind the plate. Now, though the Lions aren't a one-man team by any means, the fact remains that when Danny Mannion doesn't hit, the Sox don't seem to win. And Mannion always has a hard time hitting Joe Pearson. Pearson has held the mighty Mannion to exactly no hits in the last five times he's faced him. One down. Men on first and second, and Danny Mannion at bat. If Danny does like he did last week against Pearson, there'll be a double play here. Uh-huh. Now Mannion is complaining about something to umpire Maloney. Maloney's calling for the ball. Yeah, he's looking at it. And Maloney throws the ball out of the game. Well, he's going over towards Joe Pearson now, and he's lecturing him about monkeying with the ball. There's the new ball being thrown in. Pearson's got it. Looks at the bases. Here's the stretch. And the pitch. Wow! There it goes, out to right center. It bounces against the wall out there. Hipple's home. Here comes Cooley, and Danny Mannion pulls up at third with a triple. Now Danny Mannion thumbs his nose to Joe Pearson, and Joe doesn't like it. I've seen Joe pitch many times, but I've never seen him so fussed as he is today. Danny Mannion up. Count, 2-1. This is loaded. Here's the pitch from Joe Pearson. And it's a long wallop straight down the right field line. It's going over. Yes, it's over. It's a home run for Danny Mannion. It was close to the foul line, but umpire Maloney calls it a fair ball. And now the whole Sox ball club comes charging in on umpire Maloney. Joe Pearson's right up in front, and maybe over that roar you can hear Maloney yelling his famous war cry. Let's see.
Get out of the game!
Yes, folks, there it is. Get out of the game from umpire Terrence Maloney. But is he yelling it at Danny Mannion? No, sir, not this time. This time, believe it or not, folks, he's yelling it at Joe Pearson. Get out of the game!
Mr. Danny Mannion, care of the Lions, Fenway Park, Boston. Dear Danny, I want to tell you how very proud I am of the dignified way you acted in the last game with the Sox, and how dreadful I thought that Joe Pearson behaved. I think Daddy was perfectly justified in throwing him out of the game, don't you? Also, I was glad to see that all the hits you got off Joe Pearson were off his fastball, proving that you're not a sucker for same. Also, I want to thank you for what you did for Daddy in the matter of the stamps and Joe Pearson. I'll be waiting to hear from you next time you come to Chicago. As ever, Lucille Maloney.
Mr. Peter Sheldon, National Philatelic Association, New York. Dear Pete, I guess I ought to bring you up to date. Remember those counterfeit Saxony stamps you sent me to look over? Well, here's what I did. I mailed them to Joe Pearson and acted like I was a fan sending them to him as a gift. Like I thought, you put him in touch with umpire Maloney, which was my cue to step in and tell Maloney they were bogus stamps. Well, I got hold of an expert on these stamps, and Maloney and me went to Pearson and put the evidence before him. Well, of course, it didn't take 2 minutes to prove Joe's stamps were phony, and boy, was Joe sore. Only not so sore as Mr. Maloney. The next day, Mr. Maloney forgot there were any corners on the plate. If Joe wanted to put over a strike, he had to groove it right down the middle. Well, Joe crabbed all afternoon, but the climax came when Maloney yells at him, "Get out of the game." Well, thanks, Pete, for all your help. You'll be glad to know that me and the girlfriend are getting along fine. Tip me off on any stamp bargains, will you? Regards, Danny Mannion. P.S. Me and Mr. Maloney are pooling our stamp collections. Know what I call the old robber now? Pop. Yeah. On account of me and Lucille.
Well, fellas, that's Richard McCauley's story, Get Out of the Game, from the Saturday Evening Post, which goes to prove that ball players and umpires do not live by base hits alone. They sometimes collect stamps.
Say, what's on the fire for next week, Grant?
Yeah.
Well, next week we call for an encore by a writer we've heard from before. He's not only a writer, he was once a great athlete, member of America's Olympic team. His name is Jackson Scholes.
Oh, yeah.
And his story is called Ring Gunner. I think you'll enjoy it. So, see you all next week, buddy.
Yeah, okay.
So long, Bill. So long, guys.
Remember, we'll be back next Saturday at the Sportsman's Club with another sports story selected by Grantland Rice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.